Dorothy says.
But I remembered it anyway. Denny's needed. So's Crystal. She's listening. But that wasn't the subject of, at hand. You know, it's amazing when you're not around how much you're missed. So don't ever think that if you're absent in the assembly that we're not saying, I wonder where they're at. I hope they're okay. We know where some are and laid up in the bed. So hopefully they'll get well. Bonnie has got a cold, so she came, decided she wasn't going to be sharing today. Can you imagine that, not sharing? And so, but at any rate, we just assumed she'd stay at home. She's got a cold. And the lesson today is a lesson that was a suggestion. And as I've spent time restudying this lesson, or this passage of Scripture, I've gone through a lot of thinking, and I've gone back through the context. And of course, one of the things about these lessons is when I put a lesson together, that lesson is actually still in a state of flux until I sit down. And so, meaning that I still am applying it to life, to challenges, to struggles, to things that I see and things that I experience, to try to compare, to make sure exactly where do we need to go all the time. Now, at the outset, this lesson or this subject of Scripture may simply be something that seems as though it's just saying, look, you're just as guilty as everybody else and you know it and you need to straighten up. But now, let's look at this a little bit. The Scripture that we read just a minute ago is written to these Christians that were looking around on the ungodly world around them and condemning them. And God is saying to them that they're inexcusable because they are doing the same things that these other people were doing. Now, that can happen, in my understanding, in a couple different ways. One is that we say one thing and do another, and we'll look at that in Matthew chapter 23, and that's called hypocritical actions. And I think that that does happen. I've seen it, at least from my perspective. I believe that I've seen that happen from time to time, and I know that a lot of times Christians are condemned for being hypocrites. Because people will see actions outside of the assembly that don't agree with what they talk. And so I believe that's a viable option there. And maybe a big one. Okay? I don't know. I'm not here to judge hearts. But the more I think about this, the more I wonder sometimes if there are not things where it's easy sometimes to not really stop and think about some of the things that we're doing. I'm not so sure that this passage of Scripture is not just there to tell Christians to quit being hypocritical, but I think it may be also something to kind of help us to stop and think for a minute. Is it possible that we are involved in something that is actually very similar to something that we're condemning somebody else of and maybe don't even realize it? And so I want to look at this in a couple different perspectives today as we study this, because we need to be humble. We're required to be humble to go to heaven. And every one of us is weak. There's not a one of us that doesn't make mistakes. I don't know that we always know the mistakes that we make. Now, I'm glad to be a Christian, okay, because as a Christian, I know that I can be forgiven. Okay, here I am trying to do what's right, and I realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I didn't realize it. I was wrong, but I didn't know that. And so I have forgiveness as a Christian. And that is a great consolation that I can have. But then within that perspective of that humility aspect that I was talking about, maybe something in us, in this passage, it will help us to be a little more understanding of those that struggle with sin. And the Bible teaches us that we are to do that. It's easy for me to condemn somebody for something that I feel that I have under control. But maybe I'm just as guilty of something else in a similar area that I need to repent of, that I may not even know about. You know, there is the sin where in the Old Testament where it talks about if somebody sins unintentionally and it comes aware to them, they still need to offer that sacrifice for the forgiveness of that sin, or for the rolling back, according to the way the Old Testament was, which rolled it up to the time of Christ on the cross. And so, I want to look at this in a multifaceted way. So understand where I'm coming from as we look at this. And we're going to look on several different aspects of that, this. But I want us to keep a humble attitude in mind. Because guys, I don't know for sure. I don't think there's anybody here that is intentionally doing things that are sinful that we're actively accusing somebody else of doing the same thing. I don't think that we are. Now, I could be wrong. I can't judge your heart. All right? But we're going to look at it from a couple of different perspectives. That is one. And the other is, let's be humble and merciful to those that are around us that are caught up in sin. I think as Christians, we should feel sorry for them. They're suffering from their sins, and they're going through many struggles and problems in life. And so keep that in mind as we look at this lesson. Well, I want to go back and I want to read this passage in Romans 2, 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore you're unexcusable, O man. Whoever you are that judges, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." Doing the exact same thing, or similar thing that we're accusing somebody else of. "But we, listen to this, are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." Now, within the context of what we talked about, if we're a Christian and we're doing things that we don't know are wrong, I believe there's forgiveness of that, and I don't think that's a problem. Now, I do believe that in the course of that, I think God will reveal that to you, and then you'll have an opportunity, and I will have an opportunity to make changes in our life. Okay? That's why it's nice to be a Christian. We got each other. Okay? If I'm doing something wrong, you can come to me and say, "Fred, what do you think you're doing? You know, why are you doing that? You know, here's a scripture that says you shouldn't do this, and you're doing this." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I appreciate that, and I'll work on that." But see, there's where the judgment of God is according to truth. And truth is the New Testament. So he continues and he said, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Now, looking at that particular aspect of it, it seems to be more in the context of an intentional sin that one does. Okay? But I want us to remember that I think a lot of what we deal with in our everyday life isn't the intentional sin. Now, we might have something that we harbor in our life that we are doing wrong and we condemn others for. But I think a lot of times we just need to be humble and come before God, try to help others to change. And so in this passage, he's talking about judging another individual. And so back up to chapter 1, verse 32. It says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." And so these are individuals that God was writing to, that they were looking around at others and they were condemning them for their evil deeds. But for whatever reason, whether they weren't acknowledging it, or whether they were trying to lie, whether they were hypocritical, but they were guilty of the things that they were condemning these other people of doing. And as religious people, a lot of times it's easy to say, well, you know, they're going to be lost for that, you know. and feel justified, but then not realizing or not thinking or not relating the fact that we're guilty of the same thing. And so this judging another individual is not a good situation. These people, according to verse 1, were guilty of the same thing that they were condemning these other people for. And this is where I think it's really good for all of us to really stop and consider our heart, consider our feelings, our thoughts, and really put our thoughts and our feelings on the judgment block here and ask some serious hard questions of ourselves. Because it's easy for us, I believe, to fall into this trap of just condemning others and not considering our own actions. Because, yes, we will be condemned of our own if we're not walking in the light and if we don't work to give in to God. Now, I want to go to and use this illustration. I want to go to Galatians chapter 5 and I want to read this passage, this 19 through 21, which is a list of some sins that many of them we might understand, and some of them we don't really understand the words, but these are things that are sinful. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." Now I want us to note, that's not an exhaustive list. You could be, or I could be, involved in some things that are not specifically named there, but they're the same category. Okay, and so he continues in that, and he says, "Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, none of us want to be in that category of those that do not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why God helps us to understand the life that we're to live. Things that we're not supposed to do, in addition to the things that we are supposed to do. I'm glad that he gives us a good rounded education in the New Testament. That's why I encourage everybody, read your Bible, because you won't know. Now, the problem is, and as we use this illustration to relate it to Romans chapter 2, it's easy, I would say, to condemn someone for adultery when we ourselves are guilty of lust. Lust is improper desires for those things which are prohibited. And so let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 and look at verses 27 through 28. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28. And this is one of those passages where Jesus relates the Old Testament and then brings it into the New and tells us, okay, this is what I expect of you. And so in verse 27 and 28 of Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Okay, so we saw that in that list in Galatians 5. Christians, if you're involved in adultery, you're not going to heaven. Okay, it's not going to work. You got to change your behavior. Okay, but then notice verse 28. "But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart." You know, sometimes we're human beings. Anybody here not a human being? Okay. We have desires. We have emotions. And God is trying to tell us that we need to keep our emotions in check. Now, a lot of the opportunities to see things that are indecent, which would cause us thoughts. Young guys, listen to me carefully. Older guys, we're not dead. Ladies, we need to be careful that our eyes don't linger to where we lust after that which is not ours. Marriages would be a whole lot happier if we didn't have one spouse lusting after somebody else besides their spouse. Okay? But Jesus is saying that lust is the same as adultery. And so we've got to make sure that we keep our thoughts in check. Now, nowadays with the easy access of pornography, Is it easy to train our mind to lust? Better believe it is. And you know, we need to be aware of the temptation that once we see that vivid image of a scantily clothed woman or man, it creates within us an addiction to want to see more. That's lust. You got to work at putting those things out of your mind. Young people, listen to me. That's where the problems start. Okay? So I want you to carefully monitor yourself about the places you go and the things you see, what you see on the internet, because there's plenty of it there. Okay? I've known of teachers that lose their jobs because of this. You hear about it in politics, and it happens in homes. Protect yourself, protect your family. Now, back to the subject at hand. We condemn somebody of adultery, but we ourselves are guilty of lust. Are we any different? We might not have been caught in the very act, but God knows and understands. He knows our heart. And so we must be very careful to make sure that we keep ourselves in a proper direction so that we are not guilty of something that we accuse others of. And I know some of these things are so readily available, so they're so socially accepted in our society. Just go to Walmart, okay? Anybody been to Walmart? I'll usually get behind Dorothy. And I say, protect me, okay? We'll move to the other side because I don't want to see what's in front of me. Because I have no desire to lust after another woman. And I don't want the picture. And so at any rate, I don't want to be guilty of something when I'm condemning somebody else of the same thing and justifying myself in what I do. I know that's kind of maybe call it extreme example, but I think it's one that we can all relate to and understand today. And that's why I chose that one. And so recognizing that, we need to be careful. The thing is that we need to know that in Romans chapter 2 and verse 3, both of us would be guilty of condemnation if that were the case. We read Romans 2, 3 again. He said, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God?" We need to protect ourselves. We need to work to make sure that our mind is centered on godly things and our direction is in a godly direction, because all it's going to do is destroy our life if we're not going in that direction. And so we can easily justify and think, well, here I'm a Christian and therefore I'm okay, but that's not what God says here. He says you got to change your actions to make sure that you're doing the right thing as well, because there's still going to be a judgment day. And so as we look at this, we can recognize the importance of this. It's easy to think less of those around us who are involved in, you fill in the blank, what is really disgusting to you? What do you look down on others for their sin? Easy to look down on them, but then easily overlook our sin of, and you fill in the blank. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I want to use the example here of King David, and I like using King David as an example because he was a man after God's own heart, and here he was condemning somebody for their sins when he was guilty of the same thing. So 2 Samuel chapter 12. After David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, tried to cover it up, and that didn't work, and he finally had her husband killed. Then he took her to wife. So here comes the prophet of God in chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Man, I can't believe he'd do such a thing. Can you imagine somebody doing that? But watch. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "You're the man." King David was very quick to condemn somebody for something that he had done. He took another man's wife. He had him killed to cover it up. King David was quick to judge this man and have him put to death because he stole a poor man's lamb, only lamb. But he overlooked his own sin. Guys, these are the things that are kind of eye-opening to us as we consider ourselves. And so let's put this real quickly in the perspective of things that we do and we really don't stop to think about. We need a humble attitude. Jesus didn't come to condemn you guys. He came to save you. He came to give you a blessed life. He came to give you an example of how to live and the humility as Jesus went before God and said, "God, please, I want this and not the other." Where he lived a life of humility and gave as a servant to those that are around him. No, Jesus never sinned. I realize that. But he gave us a great example. He loves you. Do you understand that? And so as we look at that from that perspective, we need to be very careful in our eyes as we look around on those around us. And not look out of an attitude of condemnation. But look at them as Jesus did. And look at them with compassion. Not condemning them, but humbly looking at yourself and asking some hard questions. Am I living for Jesus? Do I have things that I need to make changes of in my life? Now that should bring all of us to our knees. Me included. I struggle with different things, as I'm convinced that you do, because I don't think there's any difference between me and you. I believe that we need a humble attitude where we recognize that we are this poor sinner that comes to Jesus only on the opportunity of the blood that he shed. He gave us the opportunity and the right to live a different life, to change our actions, to be in line with the things that He tells us that we're to do. And it's neat to be able to look at those things, because when we look at what Jesus says, we can say, "Oh, well, if I do that instead of this, it'll give me a better result and God will be glad." I want God to be happy with me. And the only way I can know how to do that is go to the Bible. And that's why I encourage everybody, read your Bible. Study it. Don't miss Bible study and worship, because there's so much value there to learn, because I learn every time. And I've been studying it for years. And I want to know if I'm doing something wrong. Because it's easy to condemn somebody else that I'm looking at that ain't me. You know how easy that is? I find it easy. And I think it is for each and every one of us. Guys, God wants us to have a great life. He offers us that life and the way to live. And at the end of that life, He offers salvation, eternal life with God in heaven forever. We struggle and strain here. We have challenges. But I'm going to tell you what, it's kind of nice that we've got a book that gives us the direction to go. He tells us how to take advantage of the salvation that He offers. And it's not hard. We read and study the Bible, Romans 10:17, to get a faith in God. Believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, which you can't please Him without that in Hebrews 11:6. Now, that faith is not the only thing it takes, because that's kind of the beginning point. Okay? Because He also tells us you got to repent. That means you got to act on your faith. We've been studying that in the Bible class this morning. You know, if you don't have actions that meet your faith, you really don't have a faith that does you any good. You know, it's dead. It's useless. And so there's where the repentance, and repentance just simply means, okay, I'm doing this. I read the Bible and I need to change. Okay, let's change. You know, I'm just going to stop doing that and start doing this. How, you know, do we want a better life? It gives us a better life. It gives us eternity. And so Luke 13:3, it says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. I don't want to perish. I want to go home, God. Okay? That's my plan. We're also told that we need to confess that Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch asked Philip, he said, what's stopping me from being baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, okay, you can do it. Now Romans 10:9 and 10 says, with the mouth, confession is made unto or towards salvation. You know what you're saying when you say that you recognize that Jesus is the Son of God? You're simply saying He's got the right to tell you what to do. Anybody like somebody to tell them what to do? Not me, I'll guarantee you, especially if it's Dorothy. I do a lot of what she wants me to do. Sometimes with gritted teeth. But you know one thing about Jesus, when He tells me to do something, I know it'll bless my life. I know that my life will be better if I follow Him. I want Him to be my Lord. Okay? I really do. He tells me then that I must be baptized for the remission of my sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism saves us. Well, not without the other things. But they're all required. They're all essential. But then He tells me that I need to live faithfully. I've got to continue to live. Can you imagine learning the goodness and beginning to take advantage of the goodness that comes from living for God and then to turn your back and go back into the pig pen? You know, we got to live for God. Don't turn your back. Have you done what Jesus says to be saved? If you have not, you're not. If you die, you'd be lost. Have you done that and are not living it? You too would have a problem. We need to live for the Lord. We need to follow His will every day. It's the best life there is. I got news for you. It is amazing. And it's nice because I have forgiveness when I mess up. I'm not perfect. I want to do the right thing. Guys, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond to the invitation, please do it now while we stand and sing.